We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Are you ready for the word? We got to get moving on this message here. I want to talk to you today. We're talking on the Holy Spirit. At the beginning of this year, I talked about get in over your head. And it was an introductory message to this series that we're going to now put together that teaching for a couple of weeks and the teaching I've been doing in the last couple of weeks as well, and put them all together so you can get the entire teaching that's going to help everybody understand the Holy Spirit. You ready for that? So last couple of weeks, I talked about prophecy, and I did that on purpose. And to be honest with you, there'll always be people prophesying, and we ought not to hold prophecy, we ought not to despise it, but we ought to judge it. We ought to be able to discern, is this coming from one of the five ascension gift prophets that is one of the five gifts that is given to the blessing as a blessing to the church for oversight, wisdom, leadership? In the Old Testament, the primary way which God spoke to his people was through a prophet. In the New Testament, a prophet is one of the five ascension gifts. Amen. But then we talked about the gifts of the Spirit, and we talked about prophecy, and I taught about, you know, the gift of the Spirit. One of the nine gifts of the Spirit is a prophetic word. And we love that and we receive that, but we also judge it. Okay? And we know the context and where it's given, how it's given, why it was given. Talked a lot about it. Well, today I want to talk about three more gifts of the Spirit, and that is faith, healings, and miracles. We will talk about all nine. We'll talk about them: discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. We're going to talk about the ability to speak in the heavenly prayer language as a gift of the Spirit and the ability to interpret that. We're going to go after all nine. Is that good? Is that good? But today I have three that I want to tackle. And I want to, everybody say faith, healing, and miracles. And so let's just follow this through. You see, the book of Acts is not really called the book of Acts. That's the shortened version. The real name of the book of Acts is Acts of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's also known as Acts of the Apostles, but the correct name is Acts of the Holy Spirit. And this is what the book of Acts is. It is the birth of the New Testament church. It is the transitional pivot between the Old Testament and the New Testament church. It records the growth, the growth and progress of what Jesus said that how he would build his church. It records the early disciples' events after Jesus' death and resurrection. Let me give you a quick scenario of what that looks like. This is something I've majored in. This is my subject, pneumatology. The study of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine and the study of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts records things like the upper room, where they were all together in one place, in one accord, 120 people in one accord. That's a lot of people in one small Honda. See, sometimes you just say a joke for one person, and all that mattered to me is my wife laughed at that. Doesn't matter if the rest of you don't laugh, she got the joke. Sometimes you just say it for one person, okay? It records the day of Pentecost, where they were first filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in a heavenly prayer language. It talks about people being saved and added to the church. It talked about other people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just the disciples on the day of Pentecost, but it went beyond that. It talked about the persecution of the church. And don't think we're exempt from that today. Come on, I was talking to a friend of mine, Paul De Jong, who told me that actually in New Zealand, with all this new government confidence of government control, that they're now telling the New Zealand churches there's very likely to be an act where if you don't support the gay agenda of LGBTQ and same-sex marriages and gender identity, that they will remove the tax deductibility of churches, or the charity status of churches. And Paul said, Steve, we're going to have to fight. My friend Bossoff has had the military in his church buildings on Sunday morning with machine guns while people are worshiping over the laws that they're trying to enforce in South Africa with COVID. While that is happening, the military are in church services with machine guns. You with me here? The police are offering security at bars and clubs with hundreds and even thousands of people in it, and no one's pushing back on them. That's called hypocritical, inconsistent. Come on, somebody. And so there will be. I want to tell you now, the day that the government says that, you know, we'll lose our tax deductibility as to our giving unless I perform certain marriages that they feel like that I should do. But if it's contrary to scripture, you need to know we lose our tax deductibility. Amen. And we're staying true to our true north. That doesn't mean we don't love people. Doesn't mean we reach out to people. But I want to tell you something. Persecution is something that we may well face in our future. And I'd hate to think that any of us are only giving because of a tax deduction, which the benefit that we come by being what is supposed to be a Christian nation. But I pray it wouldn't affect our giving, whether it does or doesn't. Thought I'd just put that out there. Praise the Lord. Church growth challenges in the book of Acts. Salvation of the Apostle Paul, who then went on to write 2/3 of the New Testament, are in the book of Acts. Church leadership, oversight, and apostolic wisdom are found in the book of Acts. The establishment of churches and leaders are all in the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And then Paul, finally, it talks about these letters he wrote while he was in prison. And as a result, the rest of the entire New Testament follows on from the book of Acts. So the book of Acts is an important book to look at. Would you agree? Acts of the Holy Spirit. And so far, we looked at the office of a prophet and the gift of prophecy. Let's talk about these three gifts. Number one, faith. There is a faith. And I want to say this is a gift of faith. And I want to say what the gift of faith is and what the gift of faith is not. And what the gift of faith is, write this down, or what it isn't rather, is not a saving faith. Okay? It's a gift of faith. It is a supernatural manifestation gift of the Holy Spirit that He gives us to have a gift of faith. Now, how many of you believe that you are saved by grace through faith? That's not a trick question. How many of you believe you are saved by grace through faith? The Bible says in Ephesians 2, listen, for by grace you have been saved. How? Through faith. For by grace. So how many of you believe you've been saved by grace through faith? Now, show me, if you like, please show me that how you can know that you're saved. Well, you can't. It's by faith. For it is by grace that you were saved through faith. So the gift of faith is not a saving faith. We are saved by faith, but that's not what the gift of faith is. Amen? The gift of faith is not merely faith in God's word. How many have faith in God's word? I'll try that again. These are not trick questions. Some of you are going, is he going to trick us? I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't do that. I do other things, but I wouldn't do that. Okay? Now what? How many believe the word of God? By faith, you believe the word of God. All right? Now you say, okay, well, show me, prove to me how you believe it. And the truth is, you just believe it by faith. That all scripture is God-breathed, God-inspired, and you believe it by faith. So the gift of faith is not a saving faith. And it's not just faith in the Word of God, but write this down. The gift of faith requires a rhema, R-H-E-M-A, rhema. And the word rhema literally means a revelation or a divine revealing. The gift of faith requires a rhema word from God. Write this down. And see, what there is there's a logos, Word of God. That's where it is, the written Word of God. Who's ever read the Word of God? And let's be honest, after you read it, be honest, you think, dang, I can't remember a single thing I just read. All right, if you haven't done that, you probably haven't read the Word of God. Okay? Because we've all done that, and we read, it's good to read it. And even if you don't necessarily remember or retain everything you read, it's good to be in the Word. Amen. But who's ever read it and then suddenly those words, you've read the logos, the written word of God, then all of a sudden those words jumped off the page and leapt into your heart. Where by a work of the Holy Spirit, there has been this divine implanting, revelation, magnification, illumination, whatever the word you want to use, there's a few out there, where suddenly you know that verse to be true because by the Holy Spirit, He revealed to you the truth that was in the Logos. You never would have gotten the Rhema unless you were in the Logos. Who's ever had that? It's the, now that's what I believe the gift of faith requires. It actually requires a rhema word. For by grace you've been saved through faith, amen. But the gift of faith is not merely faith in God's word, amen. The gift of faith is a special, everybody say special. Come on, say special. And a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which is as entirely supernatural as the other manifestation gifts. Are you catching this? The gift, this gift, is the divine implanting or impregnation of the faith of God that is irresistible, all-powerful, into the heart of a believer, watch, to meet a special need. That's what this gift is. I want to tell you what it isn't. It isn't just the fact that you're saved by faith, and that's wonderful. It isn't just the fact that you have faith in God's word. That's important. But what it is a supernatural gift given by the Holy Spirit where it is all-powerful, irresistible, where you are implanted with faith for something to meet a special need. I'll give you an example of how that what that looks like. It may, some of you may go, wait a minute. Now I look back, that's what that was. Sharon, when we were first married in 1980, we were married in 83, but I think about 1985, 86. It was right when we were having Alyssa. You were pregnant with Alyssa. And Sharon said, I am believing God that we're going to be able to buy a house in the city which we lived for $55,000. Now, I got to be honest with you. I looked at Sharon and I remember thinking, girl, that is just completely unrealistic. The cheapest house, and I'm not exaggerating, the cheapest house in the city at the time was $100,000. I'm talking house. And so I remember actually in my own flesh going, honey, that's unrealistic. That is impossible. And Sharon goes, I don't care what you think. I'm believing God. And see, faith talks. And you know, that night in the newspaper, remember this? We were reading, it was the Star newspaper. It was like a local rag. We read in that newspaper, there was a house for sale, private sale, a house on a quarter acre with a view of the Blue Mountains. It was a little home, cottage home, but it was the kind of home you'd spend at least $100,000 for. It was in the newspaper for $55,000. We rang that man up and he said, you know, I've had realtors see my ad and offer me $75,000, $80,000 sight unseen cash that they will give me that money tomorrow morning if I sell it to them. But I don't trust realtors. I said, neither would I. And he goes, if you give me, I forget what it was, a couple hundred dollars. I told him we were pastors and we were youth pastors and we were in our city and we love our city. He goes, I like you and I want you to have my house. He goes, I don't need more money. All I need is $55,000. And I want to tell you, we bought that house because of Sharon having a gift of faith. We sold it a year later for $105,000. Now, what brought that was a gift of faith to meet a special need. Are you hearing me? You catching this? That's what a gift of faith looks like. I could tell you story after story, how we came to be the first time in the United States. I'm sitting down with a businessman and I'm saying to him, I don't know how I'm gonna do this, but I'm believing God to bring Sharon and my three children to the United States because I know one day we will pastor a church in the United States. This is in 1997, I think it was. And I said to this businessman, I don't know how it's going to happen because I got to tell you, I didn't have the money for four plane tickets. There was me that I was being paid for by a church in Annapolis, Maryland. They were flying me to come speak in their church. But the other four plane tickets, Sharon and the three kids, it may as well have been $1 million. I didn't have four plane tickets to fly the entire family. That money was not in my wheelhouse. You with me here? In 1997. And so I said, I'm sitting there in a cafe. And I said to this friend of mine who's a businessman, I said, as of today, I'm believing God for the funds and for a miracle, gift of faith talking, that this money will come today, as of today. My business friend said, I know you, it'll happen. As those words came out of my mouth, another guy who I had led to the Lord is the travel agent of Thomas Cook Travel. He's the manager. And as those words came out of my mouth, he looked and saw me in the cafe. And he walks in and goes, Steve, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but as soon as I saw you, I just got a wire. Young people, this is before emails and text messaging, and you know, this is back in the day where people got wires. And he goes, I just got a wire from our company. For today only, there is a piggyback or a buy one, get one free ticket to the United States, but it's only for today. And I already had a young man traveling with me whose name was Scott Thornton. Some of you remember that name. So there was me, my plane ticket is being paid for, and I have this young college student whose name is Scott Thornton. He's buying his plane ticket because he's coming with me. You got it? Now this guy comes in and tells me that there's a buy one, get one free deal for today only. Well, there's two tickets paid for. So that's two tickets paid for. I've got two tickets free. Why did that man come and tell me that? Gift of faith. Something happened in that moment of gift of faith where those words coming out of my mouth caused him to come and tell me. So I looked at him and said, I needed five tickets. You with me here? I needed five tickets. And I thought, well, by faith, gift of faith, get me those tickets. I need six tickets. If I pay for three, I've got three free. You with me here? And so the next day, as I told him to book the tickets, the pastor in Annapolis rings me. Now think about it. I have two tickets paid for, right? Me and the college student. Two tickets come free. The next day, the pastor of the church in Annapolis says, hey, Steve, does Sharon speak? And I said, she does now. And he says, do you think she would speak when you come over? And I said, yes, she will. Sharon had never spoken publicly in her life. Is this a true story? She was so mad at me. I said, honey, he's going to pay for your plane ticket. If you speak once, you will find the words. Little did I realize that moment actually really catapulted Sharon into speaking as she does today. And it was just that moment where now he said, I'll pay for your wife's plane ticket as well. How did all that happen? Gift of faith. How many are glad Sharon's still speaking today? I'm trying to encourage you to know what a gift of faith looks like and how it operates in everyday life. You see, you become pregnant with it. You can't see it, but you have it. See, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen. It is supernatural. And let me tell you what it does. It provides supernatural protection. It provides supernatural provision. It provides, listen to this, faith for the impossible. Can I tell you, it was impossible for me in the natural to be able to bring my whole family to the United States. But a gift of faith, now faith is. I sat there in that moment and said, as of today, it's not a hope for the future. I am pregnant with this. Somewhere, somehow, I've got faith that God will provide the way to bring my whole family to the United States so they would at least know what the United States look like, because one day we'll be here. That's what faith does. Faith has the ability to attract. Faith, and I believe what brought that young man who's the manager of Thomas Cook Travel was a gift of faith. It attracted him. It made him. Faith finds faith. Are you hearing me? It has the ability to attract. It has the ability to create. It has the ability to produce. The truth be told, everything we've done here at Wave Church has often been operated out of the gift of faith. In the natural, it doesn't look possible, but God, by His goodness, God who gives us a gift of faith, we're able to believe for the impossible. Come on, somebody get excited. Mark 11:22, that was me giving you a pause to clap. Praise the Lord. Mark 11:22, it says, Jesus, when they talked about Jesus, when He cursed a fig tree, and when they came back, and it was in full bloom, when they came back just 2 days later, the entire fig tree is dead from the roots up. And the disciples went, Jesus, how'd that happen? And Jesus said, Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Now, it just goes to show the power of spoken words, because Jesus didn't think it. He spoke to the fig tree. Okay, but listen to this. they said, Jesus, what happened? And there's a whole teaching on what that fig tree represents and the appearance of fruitfulness when there is none and all the rest of it. But here's the thought. The actual correct translation that we get, have faith in God, actually is not the real translation. The real translation is not grammatically correct. So they changed it from the real translation to what they considered to be more grammatically correct. Here's the real translation. It's not have faith in God. Let me tell you what it is. Have the God kind of faith. That's the real translation from the original language in which it was given. Are you hearing this? So it's not just have faith in God, but it's have the God kind of faith. In other words, God in the beginning said the earth was dark and empty and chaos. But God said, let there be light. And there was light. God created something out of nothing with his words. Through the hovering power and the presence of the Holy Spirit working with the spoken word of God. You catching this? And then God said, let us make man in our image. So we are made in the image and the likeness of God. And God who created the world that we live in with the words he spoke now says to Adam, now you create the world you live in by naming and framing this world that you live in. You name all the animals. So God made us in his image, and have the God kind of faith means this, not just faith in God, but the God kind of faith where we understand that we can operate in a gift of faith and we can create the world that we live in by being in the Logos, the written word of God. And when the Holy Spirit comes and divinely impregnates us with faith, we're able to call things into being that are not as though they are in the name of Jesus. Somebody should be getting excited. Right? I hear Richmond getting excited. So in other words, it's not the power of positive thinking. I'm alive and I'm well and I feel great. I'm alive, I'm well, and I feel great. I'm alive, I'm well, and I feel... It's not Anthony Robbins, rah, rah, you know, hype you up, walk over fire. It is not self-talk. It is a supernatural impregnation, illumination of the faith of God where you have faith for a miracle, a situation. Amen? The Bible says, by faith, Noah built an ark. Think about it. There was no such thing as rain. It didn't make any sense in the natural whatsoever. Here's Noah building an ark. What's an ark? It's a big boat. What do we need a big boat for? Well, it's going to rain. What's rain? There's never been any rain. But Noah, with a gift of faith, built something that in the natural made no sense, but that gift of faith caused him, listen to this, the gift of faith produces unstoppable determination. Have you ever thought about how much people laughed at Noah? Have you ever much people thought, laughed and said, what are you doing? But he had an unstoppable determination because I believe he was operating in a gift of faith. By faith, Elijah trusted God and was fed by ravens. He was fed by widows. And then by faith, he declared it's not going to rain. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then it was the gift of faith, I believe, when Elijah said, hey, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Some of you haven't seen the gift of faith operating in your life because you don't know what it is to get in a prayer position, stick your head down and pray something through with an unstoppable determination. And he said, it's going to rain. And then he said, now the rain's going to break. He said to his servant, go look and see if there's any clouds, any indication there might be some rain. And it says the servant came back. There's no sign. 3 times he didn't give up. He had an unstoppable determination and he prayed it through because he was pregnant with it. And then the Bible says the servant came back and said, I see a cloud, a small cloud, the size of a man's hand. And Elijah in that moment says, that's it. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Some of us have got to learn to assume the prayer position and pray it through and let the Holy Spirit, as we're in the Word of God, get a rainbow word from God where we are pregnant with it. That's how we're able to buy the house that we bought in Allerton. It was a gift of faith. I want to tell you how we were able to buy Norfolk and pay cash for it was a gift of faith. How we got Richmond. What a story that is. God said to me, son, did it ever occur to you I could give you a building? I went, the thought never crossed my mind. I'm a little embarrassed to say that, But I'm also a little bit, to be honest with you, they're kind of glad to be able to say that. Because I don't want to be that guy that says, gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy. I don't want to be that person I think the world owes me a living. I certainly don't want to be a Christian that has a parasite mentality where everybody's there to give to me and I'm not to pay for anything. But God, by His grace, put faith in my heart that He would give us a facility. And God just gave us more than a facility. He gave us some of those wonderful people who are now part of our Wave family up there in Wave Richmond. If you haven't seen that facility, you need to check it out. You need to meet the people. And it's by a gift of faith that we'll see 20 Wave campuses around the United States. I'm pregnant with them. I'm pregnant with the leaders. I'm pregnant with the buildings. I'm pregnant with the finances. Come on. It may look impossible and natural. I got to tell you, our children's center that we want to expand out on. How many square feet is it, Josh, we want to add to our children's facility? 13,000 square feet and have purpose-built facilities for our Sunday programs for our kids. I want to build a theater for our grades 1 to 5 so they can have church out there. And then I want to also, and say, how's that going to happen? Because if this church will get a gift of faith and we understand that God's blessed us to be a blessing, that we are the head and not the tail. Come on, somebody. We're going to see a youth center built. Everything we've done so far has been through the gift of faith. People who believe God's blessed them to resource the kingdom, who believe God's blessed them to be a blessing in Jesus' name. How's it all going to happen? Gift of faith. How many want the gift of faith? Praise the Lord. Okay, some of you wouldn't raise your hand no matter what I ask you to do. All right, okay, gift of healing. I got 4 minutes to finish this message. We can do it. It's exactly the same thing happened in the first service, and we did it. You see, it is to be noticed that the gift is referred to in a plural. It's not gift of healing, it's gifts. Did you hear everybody say gifts? And let me show you what it looks like. In the book of Acts, Peter and John are walking on the way to the temple as was their custom. As was their custom. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing to realize. As was their custom. You are here today. You have a good custom. You who come once a month, you need to get a better custom. Amen. Okay. And it says, this man was crippled from birth and he was begging for alms. I've often wondered, if he's crippled in his feet, why is he begging for alms? See, that's funny right there. Every now and again, you say something and just you laughing is enough satisfaction. I don't care about the rest of you got something out of that. I think that's funny right there. All right. And so Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have is a gifts of healing. I give to you in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the man was instantly healed. See, that's one of the 9 manifest. How many want that gift operating in your life? Let me tell you what it isn't. They are not medical science, for they are entirely supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I mean, God has given you, physiologically speaking, biologically speaking, the ability for your body to heal itself. If you cut yourself, how many know God has given within your own body the ability for the body to heal itself within reason? You with me here? It can heal itself. You get a splinter, what does your body do? Foreign object, unwanted matter, and it keeps sending it out. Isn't God clever how He made us? And I thank God for science and I thank God for medicine, but that's not what this is. This is a supernatural manifestation gift where someone is supernaturally healed. Gifts of healing, okay? It's not mind over matter. It's not auto-suggestion. But they are entirely dependent on a simple faith in God. Acts 4 verse 30. By stretching out your hand to what? Heal. That signs and wonders may be done for your holy servant Jesus. I love this one. Here's Peter. I don't have time to read all the verses, but you can read it for yourself. It's in Acts chapter 5. And the Bible says, and this is a good thing for COVID today. The Bible says Peter was walking down the street. So many sick people were in need of healing that Peter couldn't get to them all. So they would literally, listen, they would lay them out in the street. And as Peter would walk past, they'd strategically align Peter. Hello? Does that mean you want me to stop preaching? They would supernaturally align Peter where the sun would be here and his shadow would be there. And when Peter walked past these people who were laid out on the street, listen to it, his shadow going past these sick bodies healed them. That's a good thing for COVID. No laying on of the hands in that situation. just the shadow will do. Gifts of healing. Hey, the Apostle Paul, the Bible says the Apostle Paul couldn't get to some of the sick, and said, no, what did Paul do? He'd lay hands on a handkerchief, hopefully a clean one. That's my germaphobe coming out. Okay, he would lay hands on an apron. And the Bible says because Paul couldn't get to some of these people who were so sick, they couldn't get the sick to him, and Paul couldn't get to them because he's just one person, Paul would lay hands on a handkerchief. Then they'd take the handkerchief and put it on the person's body who was sick, and the power of God would hit that person and be healed. Come on, somebody. Gifts of healing. How many want this? By the way, if you're wondering where that is, that's found in Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Acts chapter 9, the Bible talks about, listen to this one, about the raising of a dead, a man called Onesimus. And the Bible talks about he was bedridden for 8 years and he was healed. The Bible talks about so many great stories. How I love Acts chapter 28, verse 1. Paul is bitten by a deadly viper. And he looks at this snake, and everybody from Malta thought he's a dead man. We know that snake. That is like a King Brown. That's a taipan. They're the two deadliest snakes in the world, both of which live in Australia. I've seen them face to face, both of those snakes. Not a fun day when you see a King Brown or a taipan. They will kill you in 20 seconds. Deadliest snake in the world. Here are these people from Malta, and they're watching Paul, and Paul stares down the snake and he shakes it off. Can I tell you something? We need the gifts of healing happening today in Jesus' name. Okay, last one and I'm done. My time is up. Who will give me just 2 more minutes to finish this message? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. We got this. Is the working of miracles. See, every now and again, you just say something and that gentleman there is smiling like a Cheshire cat. He liked that. Praise the Lord. The working of, in other words, the word working is from a Greek word, energema. Everybody say energema. Say it with a bit of energy now, energema, which means operation or act. That's what it means, working. It means energema, which means operation or act. The word miracle is from a Greek word, dunamis, which is, I want you to think about what this means. It means power. Divine. Okay? So as a result, the working of miracles is literally, watch, acts of divine power. And you say, well, what is that different from healing? It is different from healing because it's not just confined to healing. Let me tell you what the scripture does. The scripture talks about it and it covers much wider field. The most obvious one to me is the 10 lepers. How many know they were healed? The 10 lepers, Jesus, have mercy on us. And Jesus said, what do you want? They said, we have leprosy. And they were shouting off in a distance. And you'd want them to be in a distance. You don't want them up close and personal. Amen. God's into quarantine sometimes. God created it in the Old Testament. Go outside the camp till you're clean. And when you're clean, come back. You hearing me? So this is not new to us. There ought to be a time and a place for everything. Amen. So that's not a political thought. That's just a biblical principle of which God created. What government do with that, that's another story. So Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says, look at this. Where are we here? Verse 14. Go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Everybody say cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, so cleansed means they were healed. Go show yourself to the priest. They went to the priest and they said to the priest, look, we want you to see. And the priest could see, yes, we can see there is the scars where you once had leprosy, but we can see you don't have it anymore. So when one of them saw that he was healed, he went back, the Bible says, and said, thank you to Jesus. Now watch this. And Jesus said, we're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? How is it no one return to give God praise except this foreigner? Then he said to him, watch, distinction now, watch, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Another translation more accurately says, has made you whole. But you got to look these words up in the original language or you can miss the English translation. What it literally means is whole means even the evidence of the scars of leprosy are gone. That's a miracle. That's in a work, not are you just healed, but even, by the way, that's a great thought for having appreciation and wonder and giving thanks to God. Learning to say thank you. Some of you could realize that when your pastor is preaching to you, to show a little bit more appreciation rather than just sit there with a poker face. Some of us would be more whole if we learned how to appreciate the fact that we have a job rather than cursing our bosses. If we can get a little bit more on the appreciation in our family, you say to your wife, you always do that. You never do that. Well, no wonder your marriage isn't whole. You don't have a whole lot of appreciation. I'm preaching to somebody right now, and that would be a working of a miracle that some of us would get on that side of encouragement in Jesus' name. What about the miraculous catch of fish? Net breaking, boat sinking. Are you hearing me? There were no fish. Jesus just throw down your nets and now it's net breaking, boat sinking, abundance. What about Jesus turning the water into wine? That's a working of miracles. How many know that was a... By the way, do you know who created and triggered that miracle? It wasn't Jesus, it was Jesus' mum. She's going, hey, Jesus, they got no wine. And Jesus, who's ever said this to your brother? Mom, not now. You know what I mean? And Mary just ignores him and says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And Jesus does a miracle. Watch this, working of a miracle. There was no wine. They ran out of wine. It's an embarrassing moment in a wedding. And Jesus says, get 12 jars, fill them. And then they fill them. And he goes, draw it out, give it to the master of the banquet. Master of the banquet goes, this is French Bordeaux. This is Penfolds Grands. This is Opus. This is top shelf. I've researched this for the sake of the sermon. I don't know anything about these things myself, but I've done my research. See, every now and again, you just say something for one person. Okay, and what do they do? It's a miracle. And you know the greatest miracle the church has tried to do since then? Turn what is fermented wine back into water and say it wasn't really fermented wine. The church has tried to say that wasn't really wine. Can I tell you something? How many are believing God for miracles? It's a gift. It's a working of the Holy Spirit. We need to see things happening in our lives. My time is up. Praise the Lord. Do you receive the word? Amen. I want to ask you a question. Everybody listen in Richmond, everybody online, I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you've had one of these three gifts operate in your life? When was the last time the gift of faith operated? When was the last time there was a working of miracles? When was the last time there was a gifts of healing? Because they ought to be part of our everyday life. They ought to be a part of our life. We are a church that believes in the gifts of the Spirit. And when I don't want to be some weird Pentecostal church where, you know, it's all up to me and what the pastor does. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And these gifts are given to every man to profit with all. My job, if I read it right from the Bible, is to encourage you to believe God for these gifts to be operating in your life. Amen. It's not all what's happening up here on the altar and I have to be the one that lays hands on you. I want to impregnate you with faith. I want you to walk out of here today believing God for your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you receive this word? I'm hoping some of you walk out of here today. And I mean this, you walk out pregnant. You've got something. You didn't have it, but you have it now. Where you've got the, I'm going to believe God for that. I'm going to get a gift of faith. Amen. I'm believing for healing. Maybe in the natural, doesn't look all that encouraging. My mother was healed of cancer. And I want to tell you, I've seen gifts of healing happen. I've seen the working of miracles. I could keep you here for 4 hours and tell you story after story after story where God has worked miracles. And I want to encourage us. That's the kind of church we belong to. But we don't need to be demonstrative. We don't need to be exhibitionists. We don't need to be people who are trying to draw attention to ourselves. The Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. He will listen to what the Father and the Son are talking about. And then he will reveal that which the Father and the Son are talking. It's not about the Holy Spirit. Some people say, we got to have more of the Holy Spirit. Well, what is your version of the Holy Spirit? Because let me tell you, the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. He shies from that. He's only revealing what the Father and the Son. So the Holy Spirit says, don't get into me. The Holy Spirit says, don't get into me. I'm just pointing you to the Father. I'm just pointing you to the Son. Come on. Somebody say, is this church a Holy Spirit church? Yeah, but we don't have to exhibitionalize it. There's a gift that comes by the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. We got to get a hold of this. I'm going to give this service over to Luke in just a moment. We're going to wrap up. But the most important thing that can happen in this church and the greatest miracle that has ever taken place in this church will always be the miracle of salvation. Can anybody say amen? The Bible says there's a time appointed that a man wants to die. I don't know when that time is for me. I don't know what it is for you. I pray it's not anytime soon. Someone say amen to that. But I want to make sure that while I'm alive on earth, I make my life count. But I know I will die one time. I know I will. It's inevitable. You hear me? And you can pray for me 100 times to be healed. But sooner, and I may be healed 100 times. But sooner or later, my faith has to embrace the grave. Your faith cannot avoid the grave. Walt Disney tried to put himself in some form of suspended animation, hoping they might find a cure to death. Well, good luck, Walt, because you're with Jesus now. Are you hearing me? Makes me wonder if that man really had a real understanding of what eternity was about. You hear me? See, we all will, and I believe in the gift of healing, but this means you can't escape the grave. You see, the greatest miracle will always be the miracle of salvation. A person who was once bound toward hell and a Christless eternity, that when they go from this world to the next, will spend eternity with Jesus. And my friends, that is the greatest miracle, greater than the raising of the dead. People have been kind to me. And people have said things to me like, Steve, you could preach on bananas and people would give their life to Jesus. And I know what's the intent behind the comment. And I received the compliment as it was meant to be given. Can I tell you something? I can never afford to believe that. Every time I've held this microphone and talked about God and Jesus and his word, I've never once stood up here and thought I could just preach on bananas. It's every time I give this moment in the service, I believe it's a gift of faith operating. I have faith to believe that people will give their life to Jesus. I believe the word of God. I believe heaven. I believe hell. I believe there is an eternity out there. And with all my heart, I lean into God and say, God, if you don't turn up, I got nothing. And I want to pray for people today who've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you once did. But you know today you're not living for God like you once were. And I want to say to you, come on home to Jesus. Come on back. Is anybody believing with me today that people are going to meet Jesus? Paul said, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not, will not, cannot prevent it. Come COVID, come hell, come high water, come whatever power, come whatever theory, come whatever medical science, God is still building his church. It is the power of God unto salvation. Can I pray for you today? If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never had a personal encounter with Jesus, I want to pray for you. Everybody online, there's already 2 people who've made that decision. There's people in Richmond. You are listening to what I'm saying. Listen to me. Look at me now. If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never had an encounter with God for yourself, if you're away from God and you know today that you need to get right with God, I just want to pray for you. I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes and bow your heads. And friend, if I'm talking to you and you say, Steve, you are talking to me. I need to get right with God. I need to come back to God. I've never had a life-changing encounter for myself. I want to pray for you all over this building, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. This is your moment. This is your moment. Heaven is holding its breath, waiting for you. Friend, if you say, Steve, pray for me, would you put your hand in the air right now, high enough and long enough for me to see it? God bless you. 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 Come on, God bless you. God bless you. Come on, in Richmond, lift your hand. God bless you. Church, hands are being raised all over the building. Come on, my last call. Come on, there's probably 15, 20 people in just 30 seconds. If you haven't lifted your hand, lift it now. High enough, that's it. God bless you. Come on, long enough for me to see it. I'll pray with you and for you. Thank you and thank you. Two more hands over there. That's a hot zone over there as well. I see that hand. Church, can we give God praise? If you're online, you click that button right there. I see that hand as well. Oh, no, 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 no. Just made a decision, the greatest miracle. It's greater than raising someone from the dead. It's a sign that God is at work. The Word of God is alive. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. God is building His church. People are getting saved. The blood of Jesus still cleanses. Come on, somebody. Thank God for His Word. Stay standing. I want to pray for everybody. But before I do that, I want to pray with those who've given their life to Jesus online and in Richmond. I pray in Richmond, if you're not yet, would you stand to your feet as well? Let's all pray this prayer out loud. By faith, say it. Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life. To forgive me of my sins. I receive you now by faith. I'm a Christian. My sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some praise. If you know what just took place, then you can give God some praise. I want everybody here to lift your hands. Everybody here, lift your hands. Everybody online, why don't you stand to your feet as well? Come on, come on. Put down your coffee. Don't get distracted right now. Come on. Hey, if you're watching on a computer, you got the TV on, turn the TV off. Everybody lift your hands. Father, I'm asking today, by faith, that you would fan in the flame the gift that was given to us. I'm asking God for a prophetic word, a gift of the Spirit to flow out of your church. I'm asking God for the gift of faith. And Lord, your word says that faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So from this moment on, I'm asking God that each person here would be hungering and asking and believing and moving in the gift of faith, in the gifts of healing, in the working of miracles. Let there be miracles. Let there be healing. Let there be faith for every hand that's raised. And a faith-filled church say together, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.